I'm grateful for that song because, once again, it speaks to that connection that we have with God through prayer, walking and talking with Jesus. So last week, as we were finishing up our superhero series, I mentioned that for the month of September, we were going to focus on discipleship, of what it means to be that community of sinners and saints together as a community and as individuals, and what it looks like, what it might feel like as we walk with Jesus. One of the simplest and quickest ways I know to break down what that discipleship might be, what those pathways might look like, is some of the promises that many of you have already made, and some of you are thinking about making to this congregation. Many, or even most, of you are members of Hollywood United Methodist Church. And if you'd like to become a member, please let me know and we can get you there. It's not a difficult or drawn-out process. Many of you took your membership vows a number of years ago, so you may have forgotten some of the promises that you made when you took them. However, that's not really a good excuse, because you reaffirm those vows every time someone else joins the church or someone else is baptized. You re-promise. You renew your promises to God when we do that. And so this spring, you likely made those reaffirmations twice. When we received new members and when we confirmed two of our youth. So my question is, do you remember the promises you made and reaffirm? Some of you think you might. There are many of you that are sort of staring at me with a little bit of trepidation of, oh, what did I promise? Well, let me remind you. One of the things that you promised was to uphold this congregation, the church, the body of Christ gathered in this place by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Maybe you don't remember that witness part, but it's something that we do, and it's something that is a part of our discipleship and was added in 2008 by our general conference. So you do promise that every time you reaffirm, even if it wasn't back when you joined, all right? So that's part of your promises still. So let's make the assumption that you either are a member or desire to become a member, and so you've taken these vows or intend to take them. So my question then is, are you doing these things? Are you living into these five pathways of discipleship? Are you keeping your promises? Are you supporting the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Each week, we're going to take one of these five promises and examine them, and then engage in some very practical ways of either continuing to do these things, doing them for the first time, or re-engaging in doing them. Ways to keep our promises. I realize for some of you this is going to feel like I'm force-feeding you your vegetables. I see those looks on some of your faces. I want to erase that picture from your minds and give you a different image instead. Instead, I want you to think of this as there being a vast buffet before you. All right? It's a choose-your-own-adventure sort of buffet. You don't need to try everything all at once. You don't have to try to cram everything onto your plate. You don't need to take huge portions of everything. sample the things that pique your interest. But here's one thing that you're not allowed to do at a buffet. You're not allowed to starve or go hungry. Okay? All right? That seems fair. There's a vast feast before you. Don't go hungry, but you don't have to eat everything or lots of things. Try some things out. Work with some of the options. Engage in some of these practices. And I'm going to say, you've already made these promises, so now's not the time to say, oops, I don't think I meant it, as an excuse to try to get out of doing some of these things. All right? Do them even if they make you a little or a lot uncomfortable. Try them out, and if it's not working for you, move on to a different thing. If you don't like the beets, you can move on to the okra, all right? And if you don't like the okra, try the corn on the cob, all right? There are lots of options here. So that brings us to where we are today. Prayer. We're going to start with that first promise. We promise to uphold the church by our prayers. Prayer is our connection to God. It's how we communicate. It's a two-way street. We both talk and listen. Yeah, sometimes we forget that there are two things there. Talking and listening, both. Prayer is the way that we experience God. And that experience changes our hearts. It also helps to center our lives. Time spent in prayer often brings us into ourselves in the way that God created us to be. It also brings us to the heart of God. And when we are in our best selves as God created us to be, and when we're near to the heart of God, we're also sent out in such a way that we're in better relationship to the world and to others in our lives. Now, many of you have told me in varying ways that you're not comfortable with prayer. Sometimes it's because we're not sure how to get started. We don't know how to start to pray. And sometimes it's because we feel silly when we're praying, like we're not sure we're doing it right, or like we're wearing somebody else's clothes around and it just doesn't feel like what we would do. Or sometimes we feel distant from God, and so it's hard to talk to God or to listen to God when it feels like there's a big chasm. Sometimes we feel like we don't know what to say to God, and so we don't. But we also don't listen either. One of the best ways to combat these sorts of feelings, these not sure where to get started, not sure how to talk to God, not sure if I want to talk to God, not sure how to talk to God, not sure if God wants to hear from me sort of feelings, is to go ahead and just pray. To do it. To jump in somewhere, somehow, and maybe it won't be the right fit the first time. But to keep trying different things and find something that works for us, that we can talk to God. Jesus placed a high priority on prayer. He modeled a vibrant prayer life for his disciples. He prayed with them. He prayed by himself. He prayed on land. He prayed on water. He prayed in gardens. He prayed in homes. He prayed in deserts. He prayed in churches and synagogues. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Jesus prayed. That's what got him through his life and his ministry. And I don't know how we expect to get through life, let alone the rough patches in life, without prayer. Now, I could speak for a long time about all the different ways that Jesus prayed and the things that he taught his disciples about prayer and all of the other people in Scripture that pray and how they pray and what Scripture says about prayer. But I think it's going to be more effective to take a different approach. We need some hands-on, first-person experience. I've got 10 different prayer stations set up in our sanctuary this morning. You'll find one just on either side of the chancel, one in each alcove, and then three on each of the side walls in the sanctuary. There's woven prayers, there's hand prayers, there's prayers at the foot of the cross, there's a healing board and you get to play with band-aids, there's prayers of gratitude, there's sorry prayers with a trash can, there's peace prayers with zippers, there's breath prayers, there's axe prayers, and there's candle prayers. There are all sorts of different ways to pray around our sanctuary this morning. And I'm going to give you some time to experience that, to try different things on. I want you to try at least three or four of them. See what works. See what doesn't work. Try something new. Try something that challenges you. Try something that you'll be able to add to your daily practices of prayer. Yeah, that's right. I said your daily practices of prayer. You should be praying each and every day, and that's in addition to things like table graces or a prayer that you might say every morning when you wake up or go to sleep. Talk with God each and every day. Make sure you find time to pray. The way we're going to go about these prayer stations is during our practice of communion as we gather around the Lord's table. So we won't have any ushers formally having us go into lines and rotate around the sanctuary the way we usually do. When we get to that point, when it's time to serve communion, you all will be invited to stand up and disperse. Communion will be one of the things where I hope each of you pause for a little time with God. Time to remember God's goodness and God's grace in your life. But I also want you to rotate through some of the other stations. And if there are more stations to get to than we have time for in those moments, and the service will have about 10 or 12 minutes, then stay for a little while after the service. And if you still don't get to experience everything, or you experience something that you really enjoy and appreciate and want to continue in your daily habits, but you think you'll probably forget, each of these prayer stations, there will be a guide that goes up on our church website on Tuesday, and you can find them there if you want to look them up when you are at home. So all of that being said, we know that we are in relationship with God. Prayer is how we connect with God. And sometimes it's helpful to remember who God is in our lives. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me to number 888 in your hymnals, which is our affirmation of faith. One of those things that tells us who we are in relationship to God.